Welcome to Stay On Your Flower. This is Catherine Devaney. And today joining me is Daniel Burt. Daniel Burt is a comedian, a writer, an actor. He used to be the head boy of the writing studio at the 7pm Project. He's also worked for Biggest Loser. And at National Bingo Night, he writes for The Age's Green Guide. And he is one of the most startling and scintillating young comic... Look, he's a really top guy. He's a really top guy, and he's in that, and I'm not even, listen, say something.
G'day, hello, yeah, I'm talking to a stocking, this is yours, I'm guessing.
I'm not sure whether it's mine or not. Perhaps it's Alan Jones.
It's stocking attached to a piece of coat hanger, like wire coat hanger, that's tied around a microphone. I mean, it's like MacGyver, like, it's doing a podcast. It's fantastic.
It's Bush Mechanics Radio.
When will MacGyver stop being a reference?
You know, I know what MacGyver is a reference to, but I don't know what he looks like, and I've never watched MacGyver.
Never seen episodes.
See, I've never watched Harry Potter, never seen the Blues Brothers, and never seen Star Wars or any of those Star Wars things. But I know what the references are. You have to know. Like, when you're a comedian, you have to be across those things.
Well, I heard that you have to know. And, you know, people would be reading Dan Brown because they felt like they had to know. Screw that. I don't want to consume something I don't want to consume. And if it's in the culture, it'll come to you anyway. You don't have to look for it.
When you're a comedian and a social commentator, you do have to be across certain things. But you're right, you don't have to be across those things. You have to be across what people know about those things.
Precisely.
Which leads us perfectly into Kyle Sanderlands, a man who I've never listened to on radio. I've never tuned into, I've never tuned my television into, I've never searched out what he does, but I know who he is and what he does. And he has, you know, the shit has hit the fan yet again, and Kyle Sanderlands looks like he is going to keep his job. Now, explain to people who might be listening to this in 300 years' time, what's happened in the last couple of months? Who is Kyle Sanderlands and what happened?
From what I can tell, my take on it is that he had this show on television, and then a writer for the Daily Telegraph has written about the poor reception of the show, and in that article they've quoted a few tweets, and then in 90 seconds of radio he's abused it, basically.
Well, I've got the transcript here, and so why don't you read out the Kyle part and I'll read out the Jackie part.
That's fantastic.
This is Bush Mechanics Radio.
You're a fat slag.
Is that
no
what
no
he said?
that was just me. Some fat slag on the Telegraph website, sorry, thenews.com.au, has already branded it a disaster. You can tell by reading the article she just hates us and has always hated us. She trawled through the Twitter comments and pulled out all the bad comments and ran them. What a fat bitter thing you are, you deputy editor of an online thing. You've got a nothing job anyway. You're a piece of shit.
Oh, you take criticism so well. I don't think I heard Hamish and Andy do this when that happened.
I don't care. Hamish and Andy handle their things the way they do. But this low thing, I can tell you, you are supposed to be impartial, you little troll.
Is this in the TV section?
No, it's on news.com.au. This is him reading out the review. Video killed the radio star. Shock jock Kyle Sanderlands and Jackie O are maybe the latest airwave talent to fall victim of the small screen. Within minutes of the radio duo's highly anticipated program, A Night with the Stars premiered, fans had already taken to Twitter to pronounce the 90-minute special awkward and a disaster. You're a bullshit artist, girl. This is Kyle again. That's what you are. You should be fired from your job. And your hair. Your hair is very 90s.
They've put a picture of her.
Yeah, and your blouse. You haven't got that much titty to be wearing that low-cut blouse. Watch your mouth, girl, or I'll hunt you down.
You have to learn to take it on the chin a little bit.
No, even people I hate, I give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. So what happened then?
Well, from what I could tell, I mean, I'm the wrong guy to be describing this impartially because everyone just went nuts, as people do, because there's, a lynch mob for one person, and then the next week a lynch mob reconvenes for another person, and so the lynch mob was for him.
Your take is this guy does this every day of the week. You think he's quite good at radio. Do you think it's a case of the elites bashing the bogans?
He's a fathead. Who everyone who works with him knows he's a fathead. Everyone who listens to him knows he's a fathead. He's a vain fathead, and they play on that all the time. They think he's an idiot. You've got radio shows around the country in Austereo playing pranks on Kyle, playing to his vanity, playing to his stupidity, his ignorance. He's a big joke in the organisation. No one takes him seriously. The listeners don't take him seriously. And then, you know, this 90-second audio, I see it's like Melbourne people jumping all over it, and Sydney, naturally. But, you know, he does 20 hours of radio every week, and then here we are talking over 90 seconds of a program you don't listen to.
So are you saying that he's being taken out of context, and you think that the people who are annoyed about this and agitating about this don't listen to him anyway, so they don't have a say or any right to be making a judgment on it?
No, I think they have a say and a right, and I think the job, my job, is to see that and laugh about it, and he's an object of ridicule. I don't want to kill anybody's job, and I know, you know, he ended it by saying she should be fired. Nobody should be fired. Being fired for saying something that someone doesn't like. Let me rephrase, because I feel like we're jumping right into the deep end. And I don't want to be a big Kyle defender because, you know, he's made some of my friends' lives miserable. He's a pig of a man, all of these things. But I do find that for a guy that hasn't probably ever read a book, he's got quite a way with words. And also, he's very honest and he doesn't talk in code. And everyone in the media talks in code, and they can say offensive things because they couch it in their language that they've learned and cultivated, and he's too dumb to speak in code. And that's why he's a valuable guy to have. That's why people like him. That's why what he says is interesting, because he's got no filter and he's too stupid to have a filter. You know, artists talk a lot about being honest. He's a guy who's being honest. He's a guy who doesn't pander to whether or not people like him or not. You know, if everybody in the media stopped caring whether people like them, it might be a bit more of an interesting media landscape. But he doesn't have those qualms. And even though I disagree with almost everything he says, I think we're adults and I can handle the fact that he's out there.
Do you think that he crossed the line?
Well, yeah, but he crosses the line every day. And that's part of the context thing. Like, he says mad stuff. There was a radio, I sent you the audio of the demands that that he makes of
his
stuff.
I wrote them down.
Right.
He only uses yellow or pink highlighters and throws any other colour against the wall. He has a golden microphone handed only to him with white gloves and won't let any other announcer use it. Females must wear makeup and wear feminine clothes, and he prefers high heels in the office for them. Kyle refuses to do interviews with celebrities running late and refuses to reschedule. Kyle only plays CDs and it has to be track one. If it's not track one, it's burnt onto another CD, so it is track one. He has a $4,000 light box in the studio to illuminate him. He has security meet him at the car and carry in his bag. And it kept going. Mm. I remember, you know, he was talking on air to Tom, the producer, and talking about, you know, you go off to your TARD meeting with your TARDs, which is, you know, short for retards, and referring to what Tom did as retarded and everything that came along
with
that.
He calls people fat. Well, naturally, we know he does that. But he calls staff members fat on air. You know, people who listen know what they're getting. Like, if people know the score, the listeners know the score, he knows the score, the station knows the score, millions of people listen to it, who the hell am I to drag him off air? You know, it's a contest of ideas. If you think he's crap, don't listen. If you want those millions of people to be listening to something else, create something better. Persuade them with your ideas. Don't cut him off at the knees, because that might offend you. And, it's offensive. Naturally, it's offensive. But as you know, and what's the line? You know, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
Absolutely. There's people who are offended by same-sex marriage and
yeah.
women having control over their bodies and women, you know, exposing their faces as they walk along the street, and, yeah. and children speaking their minds. So absolutely, just because you're offended doesn't mean that you're right. But don't you see that this could be argued that this is part of a bigger picture, and you're saying it's okay, just let them. And a lot of things that have been quite dangerous to the larger community have been let go because people have minded their own business, and not minding your own business has got a place in a wider social change. Here's my take. I do not believe that the people who listen to this would only listen to that. I do not believe that you could only get that amount of advertising revenue and that amount of listeners by putting that on. I think it's dangerous to the wider community. I strive for excellence and diversity, and I know as much as you do that Kyle Sanderlands is only like one tiny degree away from almost everybody, and particularly every male who works on commercial radio and some non-commercial radio. We both know that, but I don't think people do. So I was fairly high profile in agitating people to sign the change.org petition, which now has 30,000 signatures, which is putting pressure on Austereo and not on Kyle Sanderlands. It is not Kyle Sanderlands' fault that he's Kyle Sanderlands. It is the people that promote him that need to be called to answer, because Kyle Sanderlands can be Kyle Sanderlands. He would just be sitting at home and he'll be just talking to himself. It's the fact that there are people prepared to give him a platform and people prepared to advertise and reinforce and support what he says through their advertising. And it's a bit of a, you know, I think you scratch my back and I scratch your situation. So it's saying we like Kyle and Kyle likes us, and we're Bunnings or we're Coles or we're Ford or we're Holden. And something did happen. You know, you and I had a rigorous discussion on text and face-to-face about this, and you couldn't understand why I was putting so much pressure, and you thought it was a bit of a witch hunt, and you went, you know, we can't just call for people to be sacked if they're saying the wrong things. This guy is a repeat offender, and I also think that society is really progressing at a massive rate of knots, and there is nothing further behind than commercial radio, I mean commercial television too. And I was quite happy to alert the listeners, the friends of the listeners, Austereo and 2FM and all the other people on radios, that this is not as acceptable as it once was. And there's people out there who are being affected by the views of Kyle Sanderlands and people like him. And because he has those views, he reinforces and supports the views of the people who are driving an hour in their four-wheel drives from their McMansions to their shit job. And so then that makes it okay for them to be race-baiting, homophobic and sexist. And I was very passionate about getting as many people as possible to alert the advertisers and Today FM to the fact that we're not going to be quiet about it anymore, and you might want to consider making other choices, because there are better ways to entertain, advertise and inform.
But if you, you know, like that's all very nuanced and the motivation's very noble and fantastic and after the fact they're explained and that's great. But in the moment, like the furious moment, all there is screaming and calling for his head to be chopped off. And I don't see how that is a great precedent for media figures in the future.
I think you're right, but I agree with you. I wasn't offended by what he said at all. But I'm not offended by most things. What my point was, let's do both. Let's do great comedy. Let's do great information. Let's do great education. But also, let's try to skew the access of the world and what people are listening to and what people are ingesting and digesting on a daily basis in their media diet, which might mean that the world reflects the diversity and the tolerance which actually exists within the community and human beings in general. So I am hustling so people who have more diverse opinions and have got broader ideas and ideas that I would prefer to listen to have a kick of the footy as well. It wasn't about Bogan bashing and the elite saying to the Bogans, this is what you should be listening to. For me, it was more an element of Kyle being made an example of, and he is a repeat offender. There's no good to Kyle Sanderlands. I can't see what the value of him is. And I think what has been really fascinating in the discussion, so you know how we were talking about him, he calls people fat all the time. My friend Lorena told me about a YouTube clip a couple of days ago where Kyle is calling Jackie fat and just hammers her and rides her, says she's let herself go and She's wearing fat clothes because she's fat and she's put it on and she's not as good as she used to be. And she cries. And this is video footage on YouTube. And then she kind of laughs it off. And it is so heartbreaking. I tweeted it out to people. It's been taken down today. Mm. So if Austereo support Kyle Sanderlands and what he says, and we'll get to the apology in a second, and what he believes in and what he stands for, why did they take that down? It was the Today Network that was the channel it was on YouTube, and it's not accessible anymore.
Well, so presumably it happened a couple of weeks ago.
No, a year ago.
A year ago. So
it's
people...
It's been up for a year. It could well have happened years ago.
Well, I guess, you know, people... And this is the problem.
If Kyle is Kyle's like, this is what Kyle does, he just does it and it's fine, they should be able to...
But we're adults, you don't have to listen. Jackie doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to, you know, the producers don't have to work for him. Everyone's a consensual adult in this arrangement. Everybody.
Yes, but there's only one show in town. I mean, there's not one show in town. There's only a couple of shows in town. And you know as much as I do that you go along to the comedy festival and most people that you will see there will be auditioning for jobs on commercial television and commercial radio, not singing from the heart and not doing what they believe, despite the fact that commercial television and commercial radio is absolutely going down the tube. And, and once upon a time, the trajectory of a comedian was start doing tryouts, try and get a couple of pay gigs, try and get a three-minute spot on a Tonight Show, maybe you'll get a column in the newspaper, maybe you'll get a hosting job on a television show, perhaps if you're lucky you'll get a sitcom, and you went from there. It's so different now, and all of these comedians not thinking about... It, you know, comedians and broadcasting, people who want to be celebrities or personalities or people in the public eye are creatively and intellectually bonsaiing themselves and amputating themselves. And I know that this props up homophobia, discrimination, racism, misogyny and bigotry because of what we're seeing reflected in the media. The fact that it's basically middle-aged, middle-class white blokes... is saying that that is okay and that's the way things should be. And I'm quite happy to tackle it from wherever, whether it's me saying, yes, I know that Kyle is not going to lose his job, but it might make advertisers think twice. They've lost huge advertisers who have said, we're not going to ever advertise ever again.
That incident may have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but now everyone's going to remember the straw and you get remembered for that straw. So it's kind of... What you're advocating, I think, is a recipe for banality when everybody is trawling for stuff that offends them, that no one wanted them to see. So they've gone and they've sorted out and they've found it that it offends them. Then they broadcast their offense to everybody. And then what happens is, even though people... The diversification of the media should be meaning that everybody's niching up and everybody's like, you know... They do this, they do that, and it's fantastic. But because, you know, people are getting something from that medium there, then introducing it to this audience over here, it's making the culture flat and boring. I don't want to live in a country where Kyle Sanderlands can't be a monster.
I'm with you. I want Kyle Sanderlands there. I don't have anything against him personally. It's not his fault that he's got that job. I'm just alerting everybody to the world that... that this is not what everybody wants to listen to. And the people that do listen to that, this is not the only thing that they will listen to.
I agree, but it's a very dangerous way to get there. Like, to cut someone's head off is a dangerous way to get to that point, I think. Because now you spend the rest of your life, and I texted you at the time, I've heard words from Goat Boy.
You're right, we're talking about Bill Hicks here, but I'm talking about... What allows...
And then you know what? Because you have to go into a conversation about, well, Bill Hicks meant this and it wasn't... And, you know, he's coming from this place. You spend the rest of your fucking life splitting hairs.
No, I think...
Rather than going, okay, it's a contest of ideas out there. Even the shit ones have to have a say. If they're shit, then make your ideas better and get your audience over there.
I disagree. I'm with Ricky Gervais. You can make any jokes you like. It's about the place that you come from. I just don't think...
I agree, but that means that you have to have that conversation every single time.
That's okay that we have that conversation every single time. Perhaps we're diluting and dissolving and detonating and dismantling a really old, worn-out system. The world has become so much more progressive. There's suddenly things that people are becoming aware of. I mean, I said, you know, and listen to Jackie enabling it all. Mm. I don't feel like I have to stick up for her as a part of sisterhood, and I don't feel like I have to ignore her contribution to the fact that she's propping this up. I have to say, when I listened to the audio, the most chilling thing that I heard was during his diatribe, her saying, and look, there's a picture of her. Like she was grooming him to kind of, you know, go her as well. And also when you see the other, like the footage that I was talking about him hammering her about her weight and her just crumbling and being really hurt, but not being able to say, that is not cool, I don't like it, I want to do radio, I don't want to work with this pig, I don't want him acting like this. I do not believe that is the only show that would get the same ratings or advertising. I also don't believe that that is the only show those two could produce, because I do think that they're clearly quite talented at what they do, but they, like everybody in the media, is being encouraged to go certain ways. And right now, I think that these kind of things are so important because there's a heat there. There's a nerve that's been touched. It's saying, you know, once upon a time we would have gone, oh, he's not nasty, he's just a bit naughty and he's got a good heart and all that kind of stuff. But we have moved on so much, it's like we will not stand for that anymore. That is not okay, that is not cool. And I don't think he's going to lose his job, but it might just send out the tiniest little message that perhaps there's another way and that there's a better way. And that's not the only way, particularly to the low-hanging fruit, the comedians out there who are going, look, the stuff that I really want to do is this, but I feel like I have to do this because I want a job. I want to be in a place where I can do what I love. And if that means cutting a few bits of myself off, that's fine. It's the low-hanging fruit that I'm concerned about. It's the people who were, like when I wrote that article about the footy show, and I said, for the people who have been surrounded by others watching this maggot, talking about Sam Newman, on the telly, and laughing at him and saying what a great bloke he is. And if they'd been sitting in that room thinking that there was something wrong with them because they didn't get Sam Newman or they didn't get the footy show, I was there to say, no, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with those people and that show and that man. And that's what I was trying to do with getting the low-hanging fruit. Sometimes you have to explain it to people. They don't. They kind of go, I'm a bit uncomfortable about this, but there's no point here to reference.
But that's a great vision, but I like that you would present an alternative and you know, point at this maggot, in your words, and people can coalesce around your vision. That's great. That's the marketplace of ideas. Ripping Sam Newman off the air does not, you know, the people that listen to him, they don't change. Like,
I disagree. I'm talking about the low-hanging fruit. I think there's, you know, if I'm at a party...
No, but I agree that you're there and people now know that there's an alternative reality to Sam Newman.
And they might just go, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Okay, and then they move away and then the advertisers leave Kyle, and that's how the marketplace of ideas happens, not with lynch mobs.
No, but-
and by the way, everyone's having a go at Jackie O, and I, you know, agree to some extent, but she interjected how many times here? First time was, you take criticism so well, being sarcastic. I don't think I heard Hamish Nanny do this when it happened to them. Okay, so she's having a go at him there. Then you've got to learn to take it on the chin a little bit.
Hang on, she didn't say it like that. It was almost like, oh, I have to be the thermostat and pull it down a bit, pull it down a bit, down a bit. If you heard him, he was furious. I think we should also get to the apology about how cagey he was around the apology and the response and reaction from the public about the apology. Have a listen to this. Big names such as Coles, Vodafone and Ford said earlier this week they would refuse to advertise with Southern Cross Austereo for as long as Sandilands remained in a job. I mean, I've seen everything from $8 million worth of revenue. It is speculated they've lost. The lowest I've heard is $2 million. That is a lot of money that these advertisers have been tapped on the shoulder by the other people who go there. Like, you've got people like Bunnings or Coles, and they've got like a big market of a whole lot of people, and they're throwing advertising market at a lot of different places to get these people. They might be throwing it at Kyle Sandilands. Mm-hmm. They also might be throwing it at the Mardi Gras. And the Mardi Gras people are going, hey, hang on, you can't back us and back him and expect us to still support you. You have to make a choice because this makes a difference in our life.
He's good at his job as well. Like, if it's on, people don't get out of the car. They wait for the end of the segment to leave. For a guy who hasn't read a book, he's got away with words. And, you know, if I was an advertiser and it's the most listened to show, yes, I would want people listening to my ad on that network. You've got to take into consideration your social responsibility and that factors in. But for sheer numbers of years, you know, I just... And then, okay,
but
Coles, Vodafone, Ford, all right, great. They all get a big pat on the back. And that's almost cynical. That's as cynical because, as we all know, he's been doing it for years.
Exactly. And, of course, I've said that too. Great you're pulling out. And there was something like 20, 30, 40 advertisers who pulled out. And that's just some of them. I was just talking about they were some of the ones who have said they will not advertise with Austereo at all. There are some who've just pulled out of the Jackie O and Kyle show. There's some people who have pulled out of both that and Top 40, which they also host. And there's other ones saying, we are not going to advertise with Austereo at all while they've got Kyle Sandilands on the books.
Well, in terms of using Twitter for news stories, I think that's one of the reasons why Kyle was angry. And it probably deserves... He went ad hominem and definitely don't do that. But the practice of going through Twitter and finding out reactions to stuff and then using that as the litmus test is dangerous because people basically... There's this obsession with being clever. Everyone wants to be clever and it's much easier to be clever when you're being negative. So the default position on social networking is to be negative because it's very hard to be funny and positive. So people are funny and shit can stuff, which is why I think it's a dangerous litmus test, especially because only 10%, not only, but 10% of people are on Twitter and, you know, it's not a broad cross section of the community and therefore it's not necessarily representative.
So are you saying 10% of people, 10% of Australians are on Twitter?
Yeah.
And so it's...
I might be wrong, but that's what I read recently.
But then what is representative and does it need to be representative? You're saying that it's easier to be negative and funny than positive and funny.
Well, definitely. And people would say, look at Letterman or, you know, these American sitcoms and go, oh, God, look at them. They're clapping at everything. They're laughing at everything. It's like, yeah, they're having a good time. Mm. They're playing their role. If they weren't clapping and laughing at stuff that were duds, you would switch off because the energy would be dead.
Mm.
They embrace enthusiasm, which I like. Whereas there's this like pervasive feeling of like negativity and gross cleverness and like dragging everybody else down to seem smart. It's just so tedious.
Do you think it's an Australian thing?
Yeah, I don't. I feel like when we're a little bit embarrassed about the enthusiasm.
And excellence. I just wonder why Australians fear excellence so much. I really felt that the Sandilands thing was people were aware. They may not have spoken it. They may have just been responding to their gut when they just went, oh, I've got to say something on this. I've just got to get on board and either retweet this or sign the petition and just say this is not okay. And again, I think, you know, people don't like him, but I don't think that they wanted to see him come to... maybe they did, but there was, I think, an intangible and unspoken thing underneath where people were railing at the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you'll suggest that I'm thinking too much and I'm seeing too much into it, but the kind of people that got on board and the fact that they did, you've got to admit, this has not gone the way that any media commentator or Austereo itself would have expected. No way.
No. But my only thing is I think you're ascribing a lot of meaning to what was essentially knee-jerk outrage. Like you are putting complexities that may be there, but it's all a bit ad hoc. And in the moment, it's just an angry lynch. And it's all well and good to, after the fact, rhapsodize about what it means and the motivations, but I reckon it was just a very base motivation at the time, which scared me as somebody who one day might be on the receiving end of similar base lynching.
Look, people respond emotionally and they back it rationally, and that doesn't mean necessarily that somebody comes up with a brilliant sounding reason for doing something when their actual emotional response was quite base. It can also be vice versa. You can have a response that seems emotionally fairly knee-jerk, but actually deep inside, the real motivator of that might be quite worthy and might be quite nuanced, might be quite complex, and could be incredibly weighty and intellectual at heart. And mm-hmm. I think that's what I saw here. It may have come across as just people, you know, going and swinging and getting grumpy about things, but I think that they had felt offended on a very honourable level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is interesting, and we come from the same place, but we've got different takes on this, is that...
And I agree completely with, I think he's a menace, and I would like it if no one listened.
And I agree totally with you.
And the landscape needs to change. I'm totally with you.
And I agree totally with you. I want to live in a world where we can have Kyle Sanderlands, but there can be people out there, they need alternatives. And they also, I want to inform people about what they're listening to, how it forms and encourages certain behaviour and certain views. But what is fascinating is Oz Stereo, and no one expected this to go the way it's going. They just thought this will just flare up and die down and all go away. And everybody in the industry is shocked and amazed and a little bit compelled to keep watching how this is unfolding, because he's off air now and he's not coming back until January or February. It's a whole different feeling to, I think, even this time, if this had happened this time last year. There is a progression in our society at the moment as far as liberal views and diversity is going, which you cannot ignore, you cannot avoid, and you cannot say it's not happening. I mean, I think the litmus test for me is how same-sex marriage is becoming such a mainstream issue and everybody is so behind it. There's stuff like mental illness, which is the taboo is moving away and mm-hmm. the understanding of what it is. There's a million of those kind of topics and they're getting more mainstream and we're getting a much better grasp and a more universal grasp and a more diverse grasp on things like this. And I think that this really shows that as a society, we're moving ahead. Oz Stereo and Guy Dobson and Today FM are really still back in the past. I'd say, you know, Bomber Jackets, you know, listening to Fleetwood Mac and calling each other Wazza, Gazza and Nobber.
Crown Lagers on a Friday.
Exactly. And the media, the apology that on the media release that came out once upon a time wouldn't have raised an eyebrow. And people are just hammering this apology and just saying, this is just so lame. This is just not good enough. I'm going to read it. Kyle Sanderlands open letter to the media Friday the 9th of December. I have been in radio for more than 10 years. My show is based on controversy. I give as good as I get, and I have never been shy in expressing my opinion. In the heat of the moment, I reacted badly to criticism of my television program. I took my remarks too far, and for that, not for anything else, and the offence caused to Alison Stevenson and those exposed to my comments, I sincerely apologise. Our radio show can be polarising. I regret the impact this has had on our clients and our hardworking staff who have had to weather a storm of criticism in the media and on social networks. I regret that so many had to bear the brunt of my actions. And there was a bit... here we go. It follows his first attempt at an apology where he said on air, I went over the top because I thought it was a personal attack on me, which kind of suggests, so therefore, it's okay.
Well, which brings another point. One of the quotes was, what do you say, I'll hunt you down.
Mm.
Right, okay. Does anybody, and I don't mean to be an apologist, although I am, does anybody really think that he's going to hunt her down? When he said he was going to punch Dave Hughes in the throat, did anybody think that he was actually going to punch Dave Hughes in the throat?
No, but it does reinforce that it is okay to say those things. And there are people out there who would not be as enlightened as you and be seeing it as clearly as you, who mightn't see it that way. I disagree. I think that you...
Okay, I you know, it's all bad. My problem is, and what I worry about and why I wouldn't want to be a part of a lynch mob, although I agree with the movement, is the philosophy behind it, I think, is kill one, scare a thousand. And the problem with that is once you have killed one, you've killed a man. And now you have to be held up to the same standard. Because nobody knows in that moment your motivation. It's fine to do a podcast for, you know, a month later. But at that moment, you know, you're screaming for a guy's head. And the difference between you being offended, even though you weren't offended, but your actions, if you were or weren't, would have been very much the same.
I disagree. I think with the Kyle thing, it's really different. I never wanted or expected him to be sacked. All I wanted was to skew the axis a little. I wanted to scare him. I wanted to make everybody think twice. I wanted commercial radio and places like Austeria and Today FM just to stand back and go, perhaps there's a different way. Perhaps our audience have moved on further than what we thought. Perhaps, you know, you can make a kid a Vegemite sandwich every day for lunch and they'll eat it, but perhaps they might eat sushi if they're offered it.
Yeah.
And that was what my motivation was.
But I you know, I hate hypocrisy as much as you do. And I think that to be consistent, don't you think that if you're going to pillory somebody for something that they said and you didn't listen to in another state, that means that you have to go after X announcer in Perth doing breakfast and find audio of something that you disagree with there and call for his head? I mean, where does it stop?
See, like, you're more a purist with those things. I'm more instinctual. And for me, it's just whatever it takes, however we can get it. I think what grabbed me, and I didn't think about it until we started to discuss it in more detail, was that I saw that the audience was on board with this. There was a certain element of the media and the listeners and the population watching the population that went, this is not cool. I don't like that idea of he's crossed the line. It was a matter of cross the line. It's like, we've had enough. Mm-hmm. We've grown up. We're over this. So I just jumped on the bandwagon to make as much noise about this as possible and to send a message out to to Austereo and out to the advertisers.
But aren't you opening yourself up to charges of hypocrisy when someone says something similar but you don't want a petition for their sacking or you know, like, where's... I know you say you're instinctual, but don't you have to be intellectually consistent?
Well, I just don't think commercial radio is a place of growth, of love, of intellect, of advertising. I mean, they are just maggots. They are corporate maggots trying to make as much money as possible in any way they can. And the way they do it is by pandering and going to the lowest common denominator. And that's always going to exist, but I'm not going to stand there and not let them be accountable for it. I mean, you've got Kyle, who is a serial offender. You've got Today FM and Austereo, who are serial offenders. You've got commercial television. You've got commercial radio that is a serial offender. I just thought it was a great opportunity to shine the light into that and to say, hey, guys, there are alternatives. Number one, you can change stations. Number two, you can kick out about what is being said and say, Kyle can stay there, but he needs to be aware that these are abusive remarks. These are vilifying remarks. These are remarks that go into the wider community and impact on people's lives.
But that analysis was completely missing. I didn't hear any of that.
No,
I didn't hear you say any of that.
I didn't.
Nobody was saying any of that.
No.
They were just saying, fuck off.
No one was saying that, but I felt that. I felt that people got that. I felt that people were saying, I've never signed a petition before in my life. I've never listened to the guy. I just think that that's not cool. And I want to be heard to say, I don't think that's cool. And not to just go, well, they are the highest paid. They are the biggest rating. So therefore the best possible show and the only thing that those people will listen to. And as I said, it's the low hanging fruit. Some people will just listen to Kyle wherever he goes. Some people will listen to Today FM between 6 and 10, no matter what he's playing. Mm-hmm. Some people will just always listen to commercial radio. Some people will just always listen to blokes who are homophobic and racist and sexist and bigoted and discriminatory. Some people will just always do. But there is an element of shift in there. And I just wanted to help them shift across. And I felt it in my own life when I've heard people say something and it's just totally put what I was thinking into words, but there was a big distance between me and what I thought and being able to put it into words or thought and act on it. So that was my own motivation, whatever it takes. And I'm sorry, you can't say Kyle Sanderland saying something like that and Julian Burnside saying something like that is the same. It's just not. It's got to do with the place that you come from. You are not just one comment. I'm not just talking about one comment that Kyle is saying. I'm talking about his show. I'm talking about a culture. I'm talking about a culture of...
So my point is, if you pulled up a video of him making Jackie cry, where were you a year ago? Like, how, you know...
I can't be across...
Arbitrary is people's outrage.
I don't think it's arbitrary. I think it's a really good portal. It's a really good window into where we're progressing as a society. And whenever these outrage things come up, I will see the media kind of throw this out and say, you know, Julia Gillard, not married and an atheist, be outraged. And we're going, eh, you know, same-sex parents, get adoption laws. And we're going, eh, they're going, really? Mm. They're going, they don't care about that anymore. We've moved on. And I think these places of heat with offence really show that as a society, we are becoming more diverse and we are becoming more tolerant and we are becoming more accepting to a wide range of views. And when these things come up, I am drawn to them to keep the pace up so we can get to the best possible place with the least amount of damage and so we can progress, because people's response to change is fear, and response and their response to fear is being conservative. And it's always just a push and pull between the progressives and the conservatives. So you said, where was I? That was going along, but it wasn't the right time.
But there's also this thing that you did, and justifiably perhaps, but it didn't get out. The reason why that audio gets out and people foment anger is because it's precipitated by the media.
But you said, where was I a year ago? I've always fought for diversity and excellence.
Totally.
So this is just another, this is just another way. I'm not going to just keep saying the same things going over and top. If I can, like, shine the light into the treatment of disabilities in the carers, fantastic. If I can shine it into the fact that there's a huge rise of older homeless females sleeping in cars, I will. If I can shine the light into the fact that, you know, 774 and the ABC are not practicing what their charter says about diversity, pioneering, innovation, and all you have to do is turn on 774 or almost the ABC on any day and listen to the disproportionate amount of middle-aged, middle-class, white, straight or straight-acting, God-fearing or pretending men who are in front of a camera, in the front of a computer writing a column, or in the front of a microphone hosting a show. So I'm just moving around to wherever it's going.
Sure. At the time, I did feel that the crusade was, while well-intentioned, patronising. Patronising to the people who listen to him and hate him. Because it's like they're being told that we know what's best for you. And it's, you know, I know some of these people that listen and they realise he's an idiot. And this whole thing about he says what people are thinking, I don't believe that. I think he's saying stuff that would never have even occurred to them because they're nice people. But he's, and maybe I'm deluded in that respect, but I do go back to the idea that he's honest about being a total pig. And yeah, I did find it patronising. I don't like people who don't listen to something telling people what they can and can't listen to. I love it when they say, you're listening to this and how about what's going on over here? And here's why you shouldn't listen to it. And I've got something else, but to cut his head off is not the way I want to go about the change that we both want to see.
But it doesn't mean that we can't do it from a whole lot of different angles. Firstly, I've never listened to him. And when I did start doing a bit of research on him, I was more appalled by the other stuff I heard than the stuff that came out through the media. Second, you're talking about it sound like a lynch mob and people were going for his head. I think the fact that this picked up so much pace is because we knew that he was safe.
Yeah.
We knew that he was safe and he wasn't going to lose his job and he was always going to have his audience, but we could take out a few million. We could get some low-hanging fruit across and we could send out a message to the community and to the people who put money into the show and to people like him and give power to people like him a moment to pause and maybe think there might be a better way to do this and maybe things have changed a bit now.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you know, it's been really great defending Kyle Sandilands. I never thought that that would be my role in life, having to represent tyrants for freedom of speech.
Have you? Now, there's a few great articles that I've read on it, so I'm going to link them on the bottom, but have a read of Emily Hare's article, which was on Thursday in Mamma Mia. She was the woman behind the campaign to sack Kyle Sandilands. A good article.
It is so fantastic. And I read it and almost thought you had written it.
It was great. And Sally Jackson from The Australian, she has written about the survey that was obtained by The Australian, which Today FM sent out. And they kind of did that, oh, it's just our yearly health check and we just want to know how you're all going. But basically we're asking people, you know, do you know who the advertisers are who pulled out of Kyle and Jackie O's show? Would that stop you going there? Do you think he's nasty or naughty? Do you think that he has a go at women as much as men?
And also what I love about the survey, though, and which is so, like, it surveys completely disregard human emotion and psychology. People get surveyed, oh, do you think he's mean to women? Yeah. Do you hate it? Yeah, I hate it. Are you going to listen? No, I'm not going to listen. And then what do you think they do? They switch on, they love it.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that has come up for me in this is that the media has changed and what people are prepared to tolerate has changed. And also the second and third waves back who get affected by Kyle Sanderlands and these kind of sets of values and ideas and this kind of voice in our community, whether we're reading it, whether they're shock jocks or it's a Today Tonight and a Current Affair, that it's not just the people who are watching this. It's not just like, oh, I like to watch it and I like to turn off. They're not the only people who are being affected by choosing to present information in a certain way. There are people further back who are being affected by this all the time and they're starting to say, no, I don't listen, but I am affected by this kind of view because the fact that he has that job and he has that gold microphone and he makes all that money says to a lot of people that he's okay and it is normal. And people aspire to it. I don't believe that is the only show that Kyle Sanderlands can do. And I just want to see a more diverse set of voices in our community. Anyway, Daniel Burt, thank you for coming along the podcast. What was it like for you?
It was fantastic. I've always wanted to be this close to your stockings, but I didn't know it ended up being like stretched over a microphone. But regardless, I'll take what I can get.
Good. He's cheap and he's easy. Daniel Burt, you can go to danielburt.com.au. You can look at what he writes in The Green Guide. You can also see him in the 2012 Melbourne International Comedy Festival at 1,000 Pound Bend with his show, which is called
Inspired by Mediocrity.
Come on down. I'll be there almost every night at the front with placards saying, what do we want? Another discussion about Kyle Sanderlands in front of a pair of stockings. When do we want it? Now. Thanks.